Day entitled Trump of Arabia Takes Sides in Sectarian Conflict, warning that, quote, backing Sunni Arab autocrats against Shia Iran will not help the Middle East. The French daily Le Monde editorialized that Washington was pursuing a, quote, Cold War-style policy in the Middle East, dividing it between two camps, Sunni Arabs, Israelis and Americans on one side, Iranians, their Syrian protege, and Russia on the other, warning that it would pave the way to, quote, the continuation of the endless wars ravaging the region. British daily The Independent carries the report from the UK-based Syrian Observatory saying airstrikes carried out by the US and its coalition partners in Syria have killed the highest number of civilians on record since the bombing campaign began. The observatory said a total of 225 civilians, including 36 women and 44 children, were killed between April 23rd and May 23rd. The toll is the highest number of recorded deaths since the international air campaign against Daesh began. The strikes are carried out without the consent of the Syrian government and have long been criticized by Damascus and its main allies, Moscow and Tehran. The escalation of civilian deaths in Syria and in Iraq has been noticeable, they say, since the new administration took over in Washington. In March, the U.S. was accused of killing around 300 civilians alone after one strike hit a mosque in Syria's Aleppo province and two incidents in Mosul, Iraq.
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's me, Andrew Westmoreland, back again with yet another video. And today I have a really disgusting story coming out of Portland, Oregon. A racist white supremacist man that I don't think is necessary to name, just understand that he is a white male, killed two people yesterday. He killed two Muslim men and injured a third. All of this happened on a train in Portland. The incident started after he began a racial tirade and a anti-Muslim tirade against two Muslim women on this train. Passengers intervened and then were subsequently stabbed to death on said train. A third also tried to intervene, and that individual, that male, was also stabbed. Right now they're saying it looks like he will survive. Now this domestic terrorist that I, again, will not be naming. There's just really no point in naming this guy or showing his face. I'll share a link, as always, in the description so you can look at all this information yourself if you are curious or if you think that is somehow necessary to know. I just don't think that naming these types of people is really helpful. It doesn't really do anything but give them fame. So this individual was charged with aggravated murder and attempted murder, as well as a few other related misdemeanor charges. Also understand this man has an extensive criminal background and history. He has been convicted of felony robbery, kidnapping, and various weapon convictions. Now,
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
Indian
land! You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know? Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart of the original.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
You know, and I honestly have to disagree.
Me too.
I do not believe that this is people saying I couldn't possibly have a woman in this role. This is so much bigger than that. This is about, and I will say because I have literally nothing left to lose tonight, is that this is literally white supremacy's last stand in America. This is it. This is what this looks like. This was black people being pushed out of rallies. This was a young boy with cerebral palsy and having his wheelchair kicked and being brought to the front of the line. I mean, this is hatred on a level that we have not, seen since Jim Crow. So you want to, we want to talk about whether Hillary Clinton is likable, whether it was about emails. No, we underestimated as Americans how deep our hatred was of the other, how deep white, uneducated Americans felt about the demographic shift. We underestimated that level of insidious-like hatred. And what you had was a man who went around, he stoked every fire, he lit every bridge, and just open the floodgates.
How do you reconcile that with President Obama?
Internet radio for smart of original.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under neo-colonial, neo-imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic,
misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist governments and societies, and those unlucky individuals and communities living under severe anti-environmental oppression. I'm your host, The Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the people of the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, as well as our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, coming straight at you from Everyman Studios in Multnomah Nation territories. Okay, so I'm just going to leap straight into this. This is not what we planned to talk about today. I was really just going to tell Lupe to, because we've really been trying to get some guests on in here, and it's really hard for whatever reason. I know what it is primarily. A lot of people are just afraid to be on Skype. You use Gmail, but you're afraid to be on Skype. Okay. All right. Because that's the excuse, right, Lupe, that people are giving us. And then even though we've moved over to SIP, we have, I don't know how many different goddamn ways to get through to us. But no, we're not using regular phone lines. We're not going to use the landline here in the studio either, right? Because that was suggested because of the subject matter, that we talk about, and the fact that the place, is in Portland. And today we were reminded again when I came in here, this is one of the reasons why we're going to have to rush this show in terms of my monologue. We had to have a meeting, as a group here, on what we can talk about and what we shouldn't talk about and what the stance is going to be because of what happened last night. Some of you may know Jeremy Christian. I don't know him. I'm trying to even imagine if I've ever seen him on the street. I don't know. But, we had a young black man who was run over by a motherfucker and his wife in a truck, a white supremacist. We got a bunch of white supremacists and shit, bike gangs down here. In the midst of all this hippie liberalism. But you got to remember, Portlandia is a fucking hub. And when I say Portlandia, I'm saying that out of respect for the statue here, man. Not that motherfucking TV show was really just made everything fucking worse. It's really made, Portland look stupid. But, in any case, I've lived up and down the fucking western and eastern seaboards and shit. And I did a little bit in the Midwest. And I got to say, there's hypocrisy throughout the fucking nation, from fucking shore to shore. But what happened last night on the goddamn Max is a motherfucker. Now, you have this Jeremy fucking Christian. And I'm not mocking his name. Jeremy Christian. That's his motherfucking name. He decided that he was going to start insulting some Muslim women on the Max. Now, a lot of us have seen this shit. A lot of us have heard about these stories, and most of us don't do a motherfucking thing about it until it affects somebody that we know. And I'm still waiting for confirmation on the names. But it turns out that two white men got killed last night. Now, I'm hearing two different things. Last night, when I first heard about the story, they said that their throats were cut. And today, they're saying, right, Lupe, from what we saw before we sat down here, that they were stabbed to death. Stabbed in the throat, I suppose, throat cut, right? Same fucking thing, regardless. I've only seen one photograph on Twitter of one of these individuals, and he's white. Now, there's a whole lot of motherfucking black people that have been jumping down my throat for the past several years, and especially the past year and a motherfucking half. Oh, you just kiss ass, you fuck your white people, blah, 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 blah. You're a traitor, you're a mix, we already know you're part fucking Jew, so we can't trust you, la, 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 la. Okay. I've pointed out before, there's a reason why I say the fuck that I say, because I know that every white person out here is not a fucking bigot. And I know that every white person out here is not necessarily down with the motherfucking racism. I can say this because not only have I dealt with American white people who are not particularly, black haters or, Indian haters and shit, and could live, it didn't hate Jewish people and what have you. I've also had, I can say this, I feel comfortable saying this, friends I mean, no, we haven't kept in touch. You know, it was one of those things where I know them for 2 or 3 years and then they move on, I move on, what have you. That's life. That's life. But I've known white people, Boers, who managed to get out of South Africa. A couple of them who admitted to me that they were part of the movement. The others admitted to me they were not part of the movement. But the point was they didn't hate black people. And because they didn't hate black people, people treated them like shit. Or shite. I don't know. Depends on which side of the fucking pond I'm speaking to, right? But you dig what I'm saying? You dig what I'm saying? I've known Russians during my school years. Some were communists, some were not communists. But they all had to end up leaving because the communists wanted a real communism and they couldn't stay. The democratic people who were strictly democratic couldn't stay. And I pointed this out before. My best friend in school was a Russian Jew. He couldn't stay regardless. Even though he was a socialist, he said that he wasn't a fucking communist. And I believe him. I always believed him. There was no reason not to believe him. Yeah, I mean, he's the main reason I fucking have a love for poetry. And for chess is because of this gentleman. We haven't been in contact in more than goddamn 30 years. But, you know, I mean, he showed me another side of motherfucking life, right? But he tried to point out to me that people are not monolithic beings. Just because somebody comes from a group does not mean that they're representative of that fucking group. But as I've been arguing here on this fucking podcast, on this internet radio broadcast, you have situations where we get down to the emotional fucking brass tacks of it, and it's not logic, it's emotion. You know, if you say that this white person is a bigot, then that reflects on me because I'm white and I don't want to deal with it. So I will allow the racism to continue. Just like as males will allow the misogyny to continue because they're male and they don't want to have to fucking lose their free pussy card. Right? So, you know, that they don't say anything and they'll deal with the stupid ones and shit that like to hang near the bouncer all fucking night long or will, you know, jump on the back of a fucking motorcycle and shit with somebody they just fucking met. You know, they would rather have that type of fucking thing be highlighted than say maybe somebody who can do science. You know, somebody who can do motherfucking math. Maybe somebody who could best them in a fucking boxing ring because that fucks with the male balance of power. So they're not going to fucking deal with it. You know, I know people are going to minimize and mock what the fuck I just said, but, you know, I'm just talking to you here as one motherfucking person in the United States to another, okay? As one world citizen to another. We had two fucking real fucking human beings murdered here in my town last night. And I don't know what the fuck to do about it because we got a fucking police chief who was paid. Do you understand? He was paid. He was paid. He was paid. Mark Kruger. Oh, no. What is it? Okay. Lupe's correcting me. He was the Portland, or is, right? The captain? No. Who is it now? Well, in any motherfucking case, he was exchanging texts with another officer. And, you know, he was talking about Nazi shit, man. He was talking about Nazi shit. I mean, matter of fact, wait a minute. Put it up for me, Luke, because I'm going on memory and I probably shouldn't, right? Yeah, because you put that up. I think it was Oregon Live. And then I know Willamette Week has had something, but knowing them, not much. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, so I'm looking at here. Portland Police Captain Mark Kruger's past discipline to be erased, including for tribute to Nazi-era soldiers, under a city settlement. So to settle a tort notice, the city of Portland now, Portland, Oregon, has agreed, yeah, not Portland, Maine, Portland fucking Oregon, has agreed to pay Captain Mark Kruger back for the 80-hour suspension without pay he received in 2010. After police internal affairs found that he brought discredit and disgrace upon the Bureau when he nailed memorial plaques of 5 Nazi-era soldiers to a tree on Rocky Butte Park. So, is it Butte or Butte here? I don't know, and I don't really give a fuck. You know, if you want to correct me, email. I mean, you know, what is to say about some shit like this? What is to say about some shit like this when you got a police chief who is honoring Nazis? okay, honoring Nazis in Portland, fucking Oregon. You know, after World War II. You know, what the fuck is this? So now I'm looking at BuzzFeed. Loopy's pull up here. How old is this? Oh, this is a screen grab? Oh, okay, yeah, all right, fine. So obviously this is from earlier today. Check it out, if you don't mind, please, and see what's been updated. Because I want to know what he's being charged with, frankly. Christian is an old white supremacist who has previously shown up at extreme right marches and performed Nazi fucking salutes. Now, there's some photographs of, with him wrapped up in an American flag, wearing shorts and leggings. Some really funky socks and a baseball cap backwards while doing a Roman salute that was used by Mussolini and ripped off by Hitler because he was copying Mussolini in the fucking first place. Carrying a backpack. So, you know, there's a whole lot of people that look like that down here. So, you know, we don't really pay that shit too much fucking mind. But, you know, running around doing that shit, Sieg Heiling, though, that is a bit odd. But then again, this is Portland, Oregon, right? This is Portland, Oregon, right? So, he doesn't have any known mental health history issues. Thank you, because it's right here. I didn't even notice. So, Ricky John Best and Talisin Merdan Namkai Meche. Now, please do not be angry with me if I didn't pronounce that name correctly. I don't know how you pronounce this name, frankly. And see, and this is one of the things we're gonna have to fucking, you know, really have discussions over if we're really gonna live with each other. This is not my, whatever this is, this is not my first language. I'm having a hard time pronouncing this shit, and I'm also kind of disturbed about what the fuck I'm reading here. And, you know, no offense. But, Talisin Merdan Namkai Meche, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. No disrespect to the family, though no disrespect to the people that this individual belongs to. 23, Ricky John Best, 50 fucking 3. As the victims who were killed by this motherfucker. Now, there was somebody else. Amika David Cole Fletcher, 21, was identified as the third passenger who was stabbed, but survived. And, you know, and I want to say something, too, about media now that I'm fucking thinking about it. Why are we putting all the fucking names out like this? You know, because really, and I'm not even thinking about this my goddamn self, you know, but it was already reported. You know, we probably just fucking greenlit these three individuals. You understand what I'm saying? You know, putting people's photographs up and all that kind of shit and their fucking, their intake photos. You know, after they do the perp walk and all that bullshit. I mean, for just common citizens over a fucking unpaid fine or what have you. You know, it's not that I just thought about this, but I've really been thinking about this. Man, and I don't mention it that much. But, you know, we're really ruining the fucking lives of people who end up being innocent or caught up in some bullshit or something minor. You know, because I guess why, because Lupe knows where I'm thinking about this. A couple of female friends of mine, you know, males that they know or have recently started dating any fucking way, they decided to go look them up online, which, you know, that's the world we live in now, right? But, it's a fucking shame because, you know, they got caught up in some bullshit with their exes where they took their personal and private fucking photographs after they broke up with them and put them online. Now, look, there's a whole lot of fucking swingers out here and Portlandia is known, well, the entire goddamn Pacific fucking Northwest is known for swinger land, right? And they're all fucking Republicans and conservatives. We've talked about this before. We've talked about this before, you know, that's who dominates that motherfucking world right there. You know, there's very few blue collar motherfuckers in there, right? Because they get laid, right? You know, there's very few fucking anarchists and shit because this is free sex out there, right? But fucking, you know, the moral majority, all that bullshit, that's who populates that motherfucking world out there. That's who populates that shit. And I wouldn't be surprised if this motherfucker was caught up in that, you know, myself. But, you know, frankly, you know, when it comes to fucking Portland and politics and Portland and racism and the whole fucking state of Oregon in general when it comes to these fucking subjects. It's really a motherfucker, man. It's really, really, really a motherfucking trip. Because, you know, like I said, I don't even know where the fuck to go with this. You know, I'm upset now because I'm not really sure if I'm pronouncing this cat's name correctly. And, you know, it's really fucked up that I even have to talk about this. But Jeremy Christian is really what we should be focusing on and what the fuck Jeremy Christian represents. Now, like I said, you know, I didn't mean to talk about anything on the way in here. But, you know, it's I had to say something. I had to say something because, you know, it's fucking sad and it's goddamn depressing and it's upsetting. And, you know, you're just in a situation, you know, you're in a position where you don't know what to do. You know, you're a person of color in the Pacific Northwest, right? You know, because I'm just going to narrow it down a little bit. You're a person of color in the Pacific Northwest and you're surrounded by this type of fucking violence and you're surrounded by this type of hate. And we like to point to the ignorance and we like to point to the economic inequality. And we like to talk about how blue collar white people are being disrespected by the system, this, that, and the other. And we allow them to use social media and to use mainstream media to accuse people who don't agree with them. To accuse people who try to call some sort of reason into these, if you want to call them debates, you can call them debates. But it just reminds me of the 2 minutes of hate that George Orwell talked about. That's a good example, because we allow the far right to take an element like George Orwell because he criticized Stalinism. Orwell never left the left. He was always a socialist. You know, I don't know where these motherfuckers don't understand that or just don't want to accept that. You know, I mean, he fought against goddamn fascism, but he pointed out where socialism to its extreme forms, where it was fucked up. And he pointed out that Stalin was an extremist on the fucking left. But see, you get the libertarian types who think that they know what the fuck all, and they'll take that shit that this was a condemnation of the left in general. So, you know, again, there's no reasoning with a fool. And there's no reasoning with a willing fool. And there's no reasoning with somebody who fucking has it so set in their goddamn mind that, you know, their personal peeves and fears and, you know, insecurities And all that bullshit. You know, I don't know what the fuck was going through Jeremy Christian's mind. I'm not even going to try to fucking, you know, make even a blanket judgment other than the fuck, you know, fucking fact that he's a bigot. You know, by his own fucking admission, he's a neo-Nazi. But the fact is that he stabbed 3 people, killed 2, after insulting and threatening 2 Muslim women. And we're still having a debate on whether or not, you know, we should fucking look at the far right in this country as a threat. Where's the debate? What the fuck is there to discuss? What the fuck is there to discuss? You know, we allow them to make it out that people on the left are totally violent and all this kind of shit, when that isn't true. You know that isn't true. I know that isn't true. But see, here's the argument I've been making here. They know that it isn't true either. They know that it isn't true either. They know that it's bullshit, and they've always known that it's bullshit. But they're pushing this meme because it's a way for them to win. It is a tactic. Now, are there some of them who actually believe this shit? Well, we know that for a fact. We had a fucker run into a D.C. area goddamn pizzeria with a fucking, you know, field grade weapon talking about, you know, where are the children? Where are the children? And then what happened? There was somebody running around. What state was this? Luke, we need to get out of here. I can't remember, but it's on my Twitter feed. Check me out, The Angry Indian on Twitter. Check out our news feed, of course, on Twitter, Aboriginal Press. And number 4, TH World Radio at gmx.pt is the email. I'll say that again. Number 4, TH World Radio at gmx.pt. 44 Radio at gmx.pt. Tell us what you think. You know, if you're stupid enough to send a threat or some other type of bullshit, I'm just going to forward it to the fucking authorities. So, you know, don't think I won't. Yeah, and besides, you don't think that my motherfucking email and Twitter and these sites and this podcast is fucking monitored? If you're so stupid as to motherfucking threaten me or my associate producer or any goddamn buddy else connected to the Aboriginal Press News Service, You're just looking for, but see, but then again, I guess that's part of the problem, right, Luke? Because we could be threatened like that and nothing will happen until something happens. And even then, it's the, you know, did we say something that pissed him off to make him do that? Because don't think that this Jeremy Christian son of a bitch is not going to plead not guilty and is going to fucking say that he was threatened because he was giving his opinion as an American with free speech to these two Muslim women that he fucking was aggressive against, that when these three, you know, fucking guys came up to protect them, that he wasn't defending him fucking self. You know, just like that Gianforte, which you're going to hear Bob Kincaid and I talk quite a bit about here in a bit. I don't know how Lupe is going to edit this in, but, you know, really, he picked up a motherfucker. Ben Jacobs, right, Luke? He picked up a fucking, you know, reporter for The Guardian. Is he American or is he a Brit? You know, I don't know. But in any case, he picked him up and fucking assaulted him, threw him to the goddamn ground. Now, you got people, you know, personally, I don't think a body slam, is all that fucking serious. You know, I mean, the older you are and you fall on your fucking, you know, the smaller your back or what have you, I suppose it's a problem. And of course, if you try to motherfucking block yourself, you know, with your fucking elbow and shit, yeah, you got a problem. But, you know, for the most part, man, you know, really, a body slam, you know, at one point, I didn't really think it was that much of a fucking issue. But obviously, it is a goddamn issue. Because you just had some cops not too long ago, what, a year? Year and a half ago? Who motherfucking body slammed an Indian national?
Right, and what happened with that? They body slammed the Indian national, right? And they broke his fucking back. He's paralyzed. They broke his fucking back. He's completely fucking paralyzed. Well, no, let me correct myself. He's not completely paralyzed, but I think like half of him doesn't goddamn work. You dig what I'm saying? And, yo, I don't know what else to say, man. He'll never be right again. And the two cops that fucked him up, nothing's going to happen to them. Nothing has happened to them. I mean, yeah, they did the investigation, but then that's it. I mean, I think they're being sued by the family or what have you. But he was visiting the country and was visiting family and decided to take a fucking walk. So, you know, that's a reminder that, you know, you can't take a walk if you're fucking brown in the United States. I mean, what? We had a brother around that same time period. He had his hands in his pockets and he was taking a walk in the wintertime. Something that I like to fucking do, right? Something I like to do out here in the fucking Southeast, man. Sometimes I like to walk to the fucking bridge, you know? Sometimes I like to walk over the goddamn bridge. Sometimes I like to put on my motherfucking headphones and walk over the goddamn bridge. Not fucking with anybody. Just want to walk over the bridge. Enjoy the motherfucking scene, you know. On, you know, one of the days that the fucking day isn't gray. You dig what I'm saying? Yes, you can be fucking stopped. You can be motherfucking hassled. Yes. Yes. So, you know, the body slam thing, you know, I don't know. You know, judo flips and all that kind of shit. Yeah, I mean, apparently you can be paralyzed and be really fucked up doing that. But what I'm trying to bring up with all of this shit is, there have been people who have been charged with attempted murder for doing that shit, right? But with Gianforte, or Forte, or whatever the fuck that punk-ass creep's name is, you know, his people told him that they forgive him. And it really doesn't matter what the fuck he did. And they don't particularly care. And that's it. And the GOP can bully people. They can have Matthew Heimlich. Is that his fucking name? Whatever the fuck his name is. That fat fuck with the beard. Yeah, you can look at him and tell he's a fucking pussy. You know, that's why he's doing all this shit. Because another one who wants to feel like a fucking big man who will probably end up, you know, committing fucking suicide and shit if they really put him in a fucking situation and he can't run. You know, here's he shoving his young black sister from Black Lives Matter, shoved her the fuck around doing the goddamn GOP thing. And now he's being hit with charges and he's suing Trump, talking about Trump said that he was going to pay for my motherfucking legal fees, right? Just like that old man who elbowed that brother and shit at the other GOP thing. He's saying, hey, I thought you were going to pay my motherfucking legal fees. He's on fucking video, film, whatever the fuck you want to say, saying, yeah, he's going to cover the legal fees of anybody who's charged. But, you know, they're not violent. It's everybody else that's violent.
So when you're dealing with a fucking childish son of a bitch, when you're dealing with somebody that can't grow the fuck up, when you're dealing with somebody that can't do anything but belittle everybody around them after causing all the fucking havoc in the first place, this is what you get. Two people stabbed to fucking death. Another one fucking stabbed and in the hospital. And, you know, it's the Muslims that are violent. It's the Arabs that are violent. It's the blacks that are violent. It's the Southeast Asians that are violent, right? It's the feminazis that are violent, right? It's the feminists, right? You know, it's everybody but them. They do the majority of the shit, but, you know, let's ignore that and let's go into a fucking meme that makes sense for us because that's what the fuck we like and that's all there is to it, period. Period. So, anyway, I just don't know what to think about the fucking town I live in. I don't know what to think about the country I'm living in. And, you know, we have a president that when he goes to Israel says, well, I just returned from the Middle East. And, yeah. So this is the Angry Indian. Lupe has some audio for you. So please stick around. We're going to take a break here so stations may identify themselves. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
And you can catch me on Twitter, selfmade_G22. Let's Be Real podcast on Facebook. You look us up. Or are you listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio?
This is an interesting time. And just so you can know that there's no lock on crazy. I happen to know for a fact that Angry is listening right now, and he'll go, "Oh yeah, I tried to tell people." Nation of Islam had their Savior's Day sermon in Chicago, and that's where Louis Farrakhan stood up and said, "Trump is the only member who has stood in front of the Jewish community and said, 'I don't want your money.' Anytime a man can say to those who control the politics of America, 'I don't want your money,' that means you can't control me. And they cannot afford to give up control of the presidents of the United States." Not that I'm for Mr. Trump, but I like what I'm looking at, he said. Uh, You can bet your ass that Donald Trump won't have any problem at all. There will be no hesitation in disavowing Louis Farrakhan, because Louis Farrakhan scares the pee-pee out of white people. Hey, wait a minute. I think I've had a prayer answered. Oh, shit. I may have to turn all religious and stuff.
This is Radio Anguindian. Anguindian Radio for the Fourth World.
HIV संक्रमितहरूलाई माया, ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन, अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। HIV अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying, for Men in Hip Hop. Really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about, it shouldn't be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Coming to you live from Northeast Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is the Radio Free Kansas.
I'm your host, Mike Cadell, broadcasting from North Jefferson County, Kansas, smack dab between Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Atchison. Easiest way to describe it. Put together quite a good show. Think you're going to like it.
Radio Free Kansas on blogtalkradio.com/fightingcockfire.
I would like anyone who is listening to consider some thoughts that I paraphrase from the words of German pastor Martin Niemöller. You might not care if Donald Trump says Muslims must register with their government because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says he's going to round up all the Hispanic immigrants because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says it's okay to rough up black protesters because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump wants to suppress journalists because you're not one. But think about this. If he keeps going and he actually becomes president, he might just get around to you. And you better hope that there's someone left to help you.
Terrorist or survivor of terrorism. With the news of the posting of an additional $850,000 for the return of former Black Panther and Black Liberation Army member Assata Shakur from Cuba, the U.S. government has taken another step in its ridiculous so-called war on terrorism. They did this by New Jersey officials branding Assata with the latest libelous label, terrorist, in an attempt to justify this modern-day slave bounty. If anybody knows about terrorism, it's Americans, for this nation was founded in terrorism. So deep is this truth that it lies in the subconscious of almost every American and can be unleashed with unnerving ease. Come on, complete this phrase. The only good Indian is a blank. black, white, rich, or poor, that phrase echoes in American consciousness, an inheritance from a time when those dark thoughts were dark realities of, yes, genocide against the native peoples that fed and healed the starving settlers from Europe who survived the Atlantic crossings. Terrorism. White terrible violence against red life and black life and brown life and yellow life. That is America's truest hidden history, hidden beneath lies about all men are created equal. In 1973, when Assata Shakur and Zaid Malik Shakur and Sundiata Akoli were stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike, they weren't stopped because the cops wanted to render assistance. This was a car stop for the unwritten crime of driving while black before we developed the term, and the cops tried to kill every Black Panther in that car for this unwritten crime. Zaid was shot to death, and Assata was shot twice. And in an act of arrogance that only American judicial terrorists can devise, she was charged with murdering both Zaid and the cop that tried to kill her. Assata went through a devil's brew of show trials in several states, best summed up in a book by her lawyer aunt, Evelyn Williams, titled Inadmissible Evidence. These were trials that seemed more fitting for Mississippi than Middlesex County, New Jersey, or Manhattan Borough, New York. But no matter where that happened, they featured all-white juries and ambitious judges who didn't even pretend to be fair and unbiased arbiters. Even despite these obvious obstructions, she was acquitted. And when she was convicted in Middlesex, it was clear this was a verdict not of her guilt, but of her political ideas. To label this woman a terrorist is to bleed all meaning from the word. For during her life as an activist, during her wounding at her arrest, and during her travails as an accused in courtrooms that were more lynching posts than halls of justice, she was terrorized by a system that wanted to punish her for daring to rebel. These words are written on May 13, 2005, 20 years to the day from the police mass murder and bombing of the Move Home in Philadelphia. Today, 20 years later, only one person, Ramona Africa, ever spent a day in jail. What of those cops who shot and bombed unarmed children? What of the politicians who unleashed these dogs of urban war? Like Ramona, Assata was jailed for daring to survive. Cuba's valiant Fidel Castro responded almost immediately to announce his refusal to recognize this modern-day slave bounty. He pronounced her a political prisoner during her time in American gulags, perhaps remembering that she was held in an all-male jail during her incarceration. For centuries, nothing has so stirred up American fury like the escape of a slave. That ain't just distant history. For daring to slip her bonds and escape from brutal and unjust bondage, the empire now labels her a terrorist. That's because to them, nothing is more terrifying than resistance to their imperial will. As for terrorists, if they really want to find some, it shouldn't be too hard to find them. Just check the White House. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
We'll be following the Prime Minister as she returns to the campaign trail. Prime Minister, or as she's now calling herself, Commander-in-Chief. Deploying the army because there aren't enough police around, because as Home Secretary, she got rid of most of them. And what? I'm just carrying on as normal, Tim. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Carry on as normal? Which generally involves me getting annoyed at something. You know, at you, or the fucking Tories and their insidious policies, or the left because they're obsessed with diversity, as long as it isn't diversity of opinion. Or the dog, because he's done a big shit on the kitchen floor. No terrorist is going to stop him doing that. Good on him. He's just getting on with his day, as normal, curling one off in front of the fridge for me to step in. The problem is this time, carrying on as normal, it feels like apathy. It doesn't achieve anything. You have the choice of either carrying on as normal or what? Slam poetry. What I'm supposed to do is shut up, write something heartfelt on my Facebook page about solidarity and coming together. Give out free hugs in the Arndale Centre. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of minute silences. I don't want to be silent. I want to fucking scream. But apparently, if I get angry, they've won. Because apparently, we have one weapon the terrorists don't have. And that's love. We can fight them with that. That and tea lights. Lots of tea lights. Apparently, I get it, but I'm just not feeling the love right now. I'm feeling nothing but hate right now for a man who thinks blowing up children will get him a free pass into paradise. Who told him that? Where did he get that idea from? That's what I want to know. This man doesn't represent the Muslim community. Of course he doesn't. But isn't it time to stop pretending that this has nothing to do with religion? After the Westminster attacks, right, some archbishop came out and said, we may never know why he did this. Check his WhatsApp. He says he's waging jihad. Why can't we talk about that? Why pretend this isn't about ideology? Look at the target. Young teenage girls enjoying themselves, dancing to pop music. They were targeted for a reason, based on a twisted version of a religious ideology. If you pretend it isn't, it doesn't just go away. We've got to have a conversation. We've got to stop this idea that there are certain topics that we just don't talk about. Sensitive issues need more discussion, not less. Charlie Hebdo, right? Those guys were killed for publishing satirical cartoons. What are they supposed to do? Stop satirizing certain things for fear of causing offense? No, I'm sorry. An extremist religious zealot with a machine gun or a bomb strapped to his chest doesn't need protection from cartoons. If they hadn't been wielding military-grade weaponry, I'd have told them to grow up. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's not hard to imagine. It's too easy to imagine. It could have been mine, you know. Not at a pop concert. No, he's not into pop music. He's into Postman Pat. And that's it. I try and make it educational for him. He knows more about the privatisation of Royal Mail than any other three-year-old in the country. I just don't feel like lighting a tea light and singing Kumbaya, that's all. So instead, I've decided to carry on as normal, OK? Theresa May's a sour-faced dick, isn't she? Yeah. Well, the election campaign is slowly beginning to return to the headlines after a week that shocked the world.
I'm Andrew Westmoreland. I'm a journalist. And we just, you know, we go out into the community and we find stories that have national importance. You can follow me on Twitter at @DrewWest_press. And you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Or whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck. It's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back.
cross our fingers and hope everything works.
Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man.
I've got a nasty echo coming back at me.
Are you serious?
Hold on. Maybe it settled down. Okay, it appears to have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. You were dipping out over here because I'm going through White Rose Society, and there were certain things that were said by either you or Jim, and then, you know, like, cold words.
We've had a buffering nightmare, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, and it's driving me bananas. I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's not as bad tonight as it has been previously.
As it has been, yeah. Okay, so, Jim, you know, I hope you're feeling better, man, and everything works out for you, but Jim pretty much already tapped where the fuck I was going to go. You know, I mean, I write a lot of essays. I don't necessarily publish them all, but I write down what I think. And those of you, and I'm not trying to plug, but I'm just saying, F is for fascism. You can go out there and get it on my Twitter feed. You can visit the site and check it out and download your PDF of that. I talked about a lot of this, and, you know, when I look at Trump, one of the things I try to do when I look at contemporary politicians to see if there was someone historically within the Anglophone political, you know, history that fits. And one of the people that fits for a lot of ways, not necessarily because they actually line up politically in terms of their status, because they don't. They don't. You know, I know Trump likes to think he's imagined himself as somehow, arrived from his humble Queens background to marrying all these models and having all these fucking hotels and basically bullying the shit out of everybody since he got the fuck out of military school. And I looked at the Duke of Windsor, and they're just the fuck alike. Do you kind of follow where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do, actually.
You know, because my father, like I told y'all, my father might have been black, but he was a fucking conservative. You know, and he was just like, oh, the Duke of Windsor, it was a goddamn shame that he had to give up the crown so that he could marry Wallis Simpson, you know, who was born in Philadelphia, by the way, so people know. You know, she was an American, Baltimore family, actually, that ended up in Pennsylvania, actually, because, you know, they fell on hard times. But she was the type of socialite that, well, I got to marry a rich man. And she married one cat who was a naval officer who became an alcoholic and beat the shit out of her. So she left him. She married him at like 19. Then she married whatever the fuck his name, Wallace. And, you know, they had a rather loose relationship. You know, he wanted a younger woman, a socialite, someone of that status. He was trying to make her come up, so they got married. But, you know, they were pretty open. He did what the fuck he did. She did what the fuck he did. I mean, he was actually flattered, according to the staff of the Duke of Windsor, that, you know, Edward was interested in his wife and was willing to fuck around with her. Because anybody that knows anything about the Duke of Windsor knew that the royal family could not control this motherfucker. All right. Yeah, I mean, his brothers were a little more disciplined, unless you're talking about the Duke of Kent, because he was connected to Noel Coward and all types of other shit. But again, what I'm trying to get to is that, you know, my father was very defensive, talking about, well, a man should be able to lie to do what the fuck he wants to do. Now, of course, he only knew what the fuck that he knew, which was the official story that was put out there by the royal family and the newspapers, because they were also reporting on what the fuck they were allowed to report on. That, you know, he gave all this shit up. He gave up a fucking kingdom and a goddamn empire for a woman. That, you know, just about anybody at the time period said, look, you know, she's not the best looking chick. You know, she's not all this and that, but she knows how to work men. And let's just face facts. If you want to do a fucking, what do they call it? Psychohistory, Brother Bob? If you want to do a fucking psychiatric, you know, fucking look at the Duke of Windsor, he was a weak motherfucker. He was a weak son of a bitch. He never had a goddamn woman. All of his brothers were able to, including George, who was probably the one that got dissed the most, because he stuttered, because he wasn't out there, wasn't, you know, drinking and trying to fuck everybody around him and all that kind of shit. He was a disciplined man. And it fucked up his health, probably, and shortened his goddamn lifespan. But I'm following up on what Jim was talking about. The goddamn Duke of Windsor was a weak motherfucker. And he allowed women to fucking sway him. And he used people. He used everybody to fuck around him.
Who had a taste for fascism.
Yes.
I mean,
That's it. He was hooked up with the fucking fascists in Spain. He was hooked up with the fascists in goddamn Portugal. He was hooked up with the fascists in Belgium. But as Jim was fucking leading to, and cut me goddamn to it. But, you know, congrats, Jim, because I'm glad that somebody else was worried about this shit as much as I am. That motherfucker said, hey, I'm a fucking Gotha. I'm really German. This is his quote. There's not a drop of my fucking blood that isn't German. Now, people like, especially the Alex Jones goddamn fans, they like to, you know, well, I'm a fucking expert on history because I know this little bit about the royal family. Well, they don't know any goddamn thing. The fucking royal family was fighting the fucking Nazis, or at least trying to. And one of the goddamn problems was they couldn't let the fucking public know that there was this kind of dissent in the fucking royal family. Yeah, you know, the king had changed the goddamn name, you know, to cover up the fact that they were German, like all the other fucking royal
families. From Battenberg to Mountbatten.
Mountbatten and shit like that, right? And Allos and whatever the fuck, you know, for political fucking reasons. Because he realized, you know, I'm representing this fucking island nation. But the fucking common person out there on the street who doesn't have a fucking hand or a penny in what the fuck is happening down here and what's really going on in the city and in the fucking real London said, okay, well, we got to fucking get these people to understand something that we're on their fucking side. Anybody who's ever read Sherlock Holmes knows what the fuck I'm talking about. The common man out there in the street said, the royal family doesn't give a fuck about me. Maybe the Germans will give me a fucking cut. And this is what the fuck they were worried about. Because Windsor was out there saying, hey, if I can't be king and have my broad, and I'm saying it like that, because Wallace, everybody who fucking knew this, including the woman that fucking got them together by accident, another American, Lady Furness, said, yeah, I asked, you know, fucking Wallace to watch out for my, as she put it, my little man. Because that's how everybody fucking looked at him. And there's only one other fucking historical fucking president that I can think about that. Augustus fucking Caesar. No, sorry, wrong. Julius fucking Caesar. He was known as every man's man and every woman's fucking woman, okay? He was known as an open fucking homosexual, but at the same goddamn time, he was beholden to whatever the fuck was happening in Egypt because they have political fucking ties there, and that particular Cleopatra politically knew how to work his ass. The same thing with Wallace Simpson. Wallace Simpson used to fuck around with the goddamn future son-in-law of fucking Mussolini. She also fucked Ribbentrop. And everybody fucking knows this, including the U.S. goddamn FBI, because Hoover had followed them under Roosevelt's orders the entire fucking time they were in the goddamn Western Hemisphere. And it was just like, well, goddamn, they're selling out England so that this motherfucker can have this particular woman and that they, you know, he figured that Hitler will fucking make him leader. He's quoted as saying, after the British destroy the Americans, after Germany destroys the Americans, The British will have to accept me as their fucking leader. And it's on record. It's on record that the fucking Germans told him, we would give you 50 million fucking British pounds and 50,000 goddamn British fucking soldiers to fucking defend you, because we expect that a certain amount of your communists will fucking come against you for this shit. And when I look at Trump, and when I look at the Duke of Windsor, I'm looking at a selfish son of a bitch who went and fucking sold out the entire goddamn country. He just motherfucking said that Germany is evil, evil, and that they will never sell another motherfucking car in the United States. What the fuck is wrong with him? He has bragged about.
Yeah, I know. I had one of those moments when I first saw the reports of it.
My God, if such a thing exists. He talks about his German DNA making him smarter in the business world. When we know, listening to this son of a bitch and his own fucking accountants, he doesn't even know what the fuck is going on in terms of filling out a goddamn application for any fucking thing. And I still don't believe that he fucking took the exam. his exit exams for the Walton Business School. Because that is one of the fucking places that is known that you had would pay somebody to take your fucking exams. I don't believe that he passed that bullshit. I don't believe that he fucking finished any of his fucking exams, even when he left military fucking school. He is an imbecile. He is a bully. He is a fucking nobody. But because he has money, as he put it, I'm not putting words in his mouth. When you're a star, you can grab him by the pussy. And he's wondering why the fucking world is looking at him like he's a fucking idiot. And why El Papa? I mean, God damn it, Brother Bob. The current Pope almost makes me want to go back to church.
I don't know. You might catch fire going through the door, Angry.
Well, that's okay. I'd just be one more motherfucking priest leaving this shit. But hey, the people.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, what idiot tries to start a trade war with somebody who has factories in your country that employ thousands of your voters?
MAGA does. MAGA does. I've had my issues with Mr. Obama. Goddamn, he wasn't perfect. He let the cops just wipe us the fuck out. You know, I mean, he hasn't done anything for indigenous people worth a goddamn. I mean, yeah, he let a Puerto Rican activist go, but I mean, fuck. Okay, that was to sweeten up fucking Puerto Rico because they're about to crash the goddamn colony. Okay, fine. But he didn't crash the fucking shit like this. The British do not want to share intelligence with us any goddamn more. The fucking Israelis are like, fuck it, intelligence? We're not giving you a goddamn iota of any motherfucking thing. Your goddamn man will sell us the fuck out. Matter of fact, we probably got operatives that are being wiped out right now because of this shit. Yeah, that's right. I'm sitting here as a fucking black Indian in America and saying, fuck, I got nowhere else to fucking go. I got to fucking work with this system to some goddamn degree. All the fuck I do is ask for some fucking respect. But this is what the fuck I'm represented by, and I gotta fucking listen to a bunch of neo-fucking-punk-ass Nazis defend a goddamn Montana Republican who body-slammed a reporter for fucking asking him a fucking question.
You mentioned that. Check this out, okay? This is a story from Talking Points Memo. Oh, God, the echo's back.
Yeah, because somebody's fucking listening. Yeah, Mossad.
No. This is something going. No, this is one of your. This is a setting on your end, brother.
As I said, Mossad, whoever the fuck else is listening, is when certain subjects come up that our motherfucking feed always gets fucked up. Yeah, that's right. But, Trump is a fucking sellout. You're fucking right.
There were reporters in Montana today interviewing voters at the polls. John Forte, voter to me in Bozeman just now after declining an interview. I think reporters have it coming. Kyung La, a reporter for CNN. Montana GOP voter to me just now knowing I work for CNN. That audio made me cheer. She smiled as she walked in to vote for John Forte. Montana GOP voter upon learning we're from CNN. You're lucky someone doesn't pop one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, John Forte has a history.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's a white supremacist. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That motherfucker has been given money and speeches and pats on the back and dick strokes and all kinds of bullshit to fucking every white supremacist, anti-immigrant, anti-gay motherfucking group that he can find in his state. Oh, yes. And of course, we're supposed to ignore this. We're supposed to ignore this. BuzzFeed, not exactly known as the most liberal fucking journal on the internet, says, oh, by the way, the Republican frontrunner in Montana has an extreme anti-GLBT past. Since entering the spotlight, Jim Forte has avoided questions about social issues, but he has personally lobbied against an LGBT rights bill, and tax documents show his foundation has given more than $1.1 million to leading organizations that oppose gay rights. He also
He's also a creationist.
Yes, he's a creationist, and he's also hooked up to fucking Russia. He has substantial holdings in Russian firms. This is reported by BusinessInsider.com. Not a liberal motherfucking newspaper, not a communist.
Yeah, but the guy who broke that story angry wasn't Business Insider. The guy who broke the Russian connection in his portfolio was the guy he tried to strangle last night. Uh-huh. Happened about a month ago.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But they're reporting dispatch.
And in April, I tell you what, I'm going to, just to make this work, I'm going to pot you down and just angry so that I won't echo back at myself. But, and then I'll pot you back up. We can make this go. It was in April when he was doing an appearance. And he pointed at a reporter. And he said, "We have someone right here. It seems like there's more of us than there is of him. I don't have a simple solution. I'll say that doing town hall meeting is for you." So last night was not a one-off thing.
Mm-mm. No. No. No, this is the current, you know. And it was always there. It's always been the soft underbelly of not just the United States, but of most countries. It's just we've gotten to the fucking point here that we have somebody who is actually holding political office that says, you can do what the fuck you want to do, provided you're doing it in my favor. Provide you're doing it to, you know, where it's going to get my particular agenda someplace. And the bottom fucking line is, he has become president. He got what the fuck he wanted. He really didn't think he was going to win any goddamn way. You know, this is another Putney Swope moment, right? He didn't think he was going to get it anyway. And a lot of people fucking slept. He didn't win the popular vote, but the Electoral College gave it to him. You know, W didn't win the popular vote, but the Electoral College gave it to him. They were both fucking Republicans, and they both damaged the fucking economy, and both put us on a war footing, and which we're still fucking stuck on. But everybody wants to blame Obama. Well, he continued to do this. Understood. I'm not fucking saying that, oh, well, he should have just pulled the fuck out. You know, it's really easy, and I'm saying this as somebody who is supposed to be on the left, but I'm not a goddamn liberal. I'm on the left. That's not the same fucking thing. And even then, I'm reluctant to say...
You're not an idiot.
No. You know, even then, as an indigenous person, you know, that left-right shit is colonialist as far as we're fucking concerned. But once you start a military goddamn conflict, you create power vacuums. You create fucking social instability that you can't just the fuck pull out. You know, those people who have actually served. I'm talking about people who have fucking served in office of fucking ranks. And by the way, I probably should even bring this up, and I'm not going to mention this gentleman's name. But, you know, I lost another fucking friend. I don't know what it is, Brother Bob, as I get older. I keep losing, you know, people I know. But this particular gentleman served in the Navy. He served in the Navy band during World War II. Why did he serve in the Navy band during World War II? Because he was a pacifist and he was an anti-racist. And he was just like, you know, I don't want to go out there and fight because I don't want to hurt anybody. And I don't think the soldiers on the other side even know me enough to want to hurt me. But I still need to serve my country. He was a Republican, Brother Bob, and a member of the Universalist Church. He and his wife his entire life. He was 96. And I'm trying not to cry right now, but he was one of my good friends. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm arguing like this is because of him. You know, there are people out here who are on the fucking left that are pacifists. You know, I'm not a pacifist, but who are pacifists, have all kinds of ideas, who love this motherfucking country. Who love this motherfucking country. Like I said, my goddamn father, as much as we fucking argue, he was a black man, total fucking conservative, this, that, and the other. He loved this motherfucking country. But when he was pushed in his back was against the wall, he was just like, God damn it, everything I fucking have done amounted to nothing. And then I look at somebody like Trump, and I look at the black people who support Trump, like fucking Omarosa, or that punk-ass Sheriff Goddamn Clark, who obviously can't even write his own fucking thesis. He has to plagiarize the entire fucking thing, and then all they can do is defend him, talking about we're being punk for fucking calling out his goddamn plagiarism or that we're cowards because we're talking about this reporter being body slammed. Even though in that goddamn state, if he pulled out a fucking gun and shot that guy, he would have been legally within his fucking rights. What kind of country have we fucking developed? Because we've been passive? Because we've allowed people to do this shit? You know, just over the fucking past weekend, I had to sit through another fucking social session where another white guy was telling me, well, hey, you know, nothing's happening to you racially in Portland. I don't see the Klan lynching you in Portland. So I don't know why you always have to be on an anti-racism tip. Basically, I'm just tired of fucking hearing it. Same thing when I hear men talk about sexism against women. They're just like, oh, well, you know, you're not a woman, so why the fuck do you care? You're not Chinese. Why the fuck do you care I call somebody a spick? And that could be any goddamn racial group. You know, we've allowed this shit to get completely fucking out of control while repeating over and over again, oh, this is America. We're the land of the free. We're totally democratic. We totally love everybody. Everything is about everybody else. You know, we're only doing warfare and shit so we can bring democracy and freedom around the world. In the mean fucking time, we know full goddamn well what the fuck we're living in. This is a long, bad motherfucking date between the fucking public and the goddamn politics here. And because the fucking public is too fucking coward to admit that we don't know how the fuck we got here, they're continuing to go totally off the fucking rails because nobody wants to fucking come out and say it. We lost motherfucking control. That we let somebody like Trump come the fuck in because we're allowing him to destroy every fucking thing because we had a nigga as president and we don't want to fucking deal with that anymore. We want to bring it back to a fucking whiteness that works for me. And I'm sorry I went on with that long-winded thing, but until we start discussing this shit, we'll never fucking fix anything. And by the way, the person that said that to me was an ex-fucking Marine, 100% pure motherfucking American from Maryland, who totally believes in this fucking country. And no, I don't believe he's a bigot, but when it comes to dealing with fucking racism, he's just as much as a fucking coward as anybody else out here. And I don't give a fuck about his goddamn service. I just said.
So, I mean, by way of an example of what you're talking about, this kind of thing happens. I mean, whether it's a candidate punching out a reporter or something as simple, and we've seen the incidents in all kinds of different locations, Starbucks, restaurants, what have you.
Walmart.
Something as simple as trying to go to the goddamn store becomes a social experiment. It becomes a dangerous venture. Take, for instance, a little walk by a woman named Eva Hicks down the antacid aisle at a Walmart that I presume is somewhere near Pittsburgh because Eva Hicks is a Steelers fan if you look at her Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at a white lady and said, excuse me, as she tried to reach over for a bottle of rum, Rolex, or something. But the white lady in question who was in her way took umbrage at Eva Hicks trying to reach for her meds. And this happened.
Go back to Mexico.
Oh, really? Oh, wait a minute. This is the hot
really expensive.
Not supposed to buffles. Stand by just a second. I've got your hot advantage, so I won't echo back. Let's try this again.
Go back next.
And suddenly the media
How about that?
Well, just so you'll know.
Run your mouth. Listen,
how about that?
It crashes. I said go back to Nick. Maybe it's not to turn. It's from the southern sound. So she sits there, as the white woman does, giving Hail Columbia to this woman, who has started to video her, which inflamed her, and she's running her mouth. And another woman walks up and says, "Stop being ignorant." To which the white woman replies, "A nigger's calling me ignorant." This is Trump's America. Bless his heart, even says the fish rots. He's desperately trying to hide from his role in putting Trump in the White House. But this is Trump's America. We had ugliness, nastiness 8 years under Barack Obama, but it got cranked up to 11 with the Trump campaign. Sorry about the pot down, Angry.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I trust you've seen that video.
Oh, no, actually, I heard the audio. I really didn't want to see the video just because I knew it was going to be disturbing, and I just didn't want to look at it for my own self-care. But I've heard it, and I'm going to stay here flat out. You know, I try not to talk about myself because I consider myself a journalist, right? You know, independent press I've worked in for a few decades now. I just, you know, thought about this recently. Starting to reevaluate my career and realize that, you know, yeah, I'm broke. And I've been doing activism since my late teens. And, you know, I haven't received a fucking dime, but I saw a lot and, you know, I really fucking did a lot. And I've written some articles that have had some weight. But, you know, the point is that, you know, you try to be objective, but it's really difficult to be objective when these sorts of things have happened to you. You know, I try not to bring up the fact that I've endured that kind of fucking racism myself, you know, in different parts of the country. And no matter how the fuck I'm dressed. And like I said, when you see Don Lemon, when you see Lester Holt, you see me. And when somebody, you know, like me can fucking go into a place and people are just, you know, moving their fucking purses away from you and sliding away from you. And when you make a fucking statement, even if, you know, if it's somewhat called and they say, wow, you're really smart, even though the three white guys in which you're talking that were in the same fucking circle said the exact same shit and nobody said that they were smart. You know, just a lot of backhanded fucking racism. And like I said, this past fucking weekend, I like this guy. We're neighbors. I like this guy. But I mean, you know, his thing is, well, if it's not happening to you, then, you know, I don't see the problem. And my thing with him is, well, you have enough white privilege, you don't have to worry about it. Just like as males. You know, shit happens to women. It's not the first thing that we think about unless we're particularly sensitive because we've had to be taught how to be sensitive. You know, I didn't come out the box like this. It was the women in my life who said, look, motherfucker, hold up for a second. Think about this for a motherfucking minute. You know, what the fuck is wrong? You know, hold up. You know, and it's like, and being open to listening. And I think, you know, again, I have my issues with the old man, but my father was a good goddamn man. And he's like, you know, listen to women because we fucking need them. He was indigenous. You dig what I'm saying? He was Gullah. He's like, yo, shut the fuck up sometimes and open your fucking ears and listen to what's going on around you. And when you listen to these sons of bitches, you hear the cowardice. This is where Jim was going when he was talking about the royal fucking family and where I'm going. When you look at the Duke of Windsor, he was a fucking punk. When you look at Hitler, I'm not saying that Hitler was a coward per se. I'm saying that Hitler had his own crazy fucking idea of glory. You know, when he was a fucking corporal, he used to run in the bullets and all this bullshit and say that Providence, i.e. God, you know, the Nazi God saved him. You know, all this type of bullshit. He didn't live in fucking reality. You know, you look at Trump, at Bush, at fucking McConnell, any of these motherfucking Republicans, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, they all fucking stand around like they're making a historical statement for the fucking ages. You know, the old Francis ex fucking Bushman and shit delivering the fucking Gettysburg goddamn fucking address, you know, on some, Eastern, New England goddamn state, some fucking weird that's being recorded for fucking posterity. All of these fucking crazy fascist fuckers, I don't care what country, what culture, what motherfucking ethnic group, what fucking era. They're all fucking delusional fucking people who are crazy. And we should not be fucking afraid of them. You know, here's Trump talking about, well, we stand with the people of Manchester, but he didn't say a goddamn thing about the terrorist attack in Quebec. I suppose because the victims were Muslim, you know, or any of the other fucking terrorist attacks. Some of them just
they were just reaping what they sowed. Angry.
Oh, you mean the cops that were killed recently?
The Muslims in Quebec.
No, the Muslims in Quebec. But how about the American policemen that were killed? You know, they're not going home to their families any fucking more. They're not going to fuck, you know, they were killed by white supremacists. So I guess that's okay, right? That's okay. Evidently to the fucking alt-right and the army of God.
Yeah, God only knows what kind of nightmare radiation bomb those neo-Nazis in Tampa were planning before their recent Muslim convert buddy blew them away.
Blew them away, right? You know, so here we talking about, this is where the fuck I'm going, Brother Bob. Thank you so goddamn much. We're looking at people who are unstable. If I can't be a big man in one motherfucking arena, I'll slip over to the fucking other side. If I can't be king, I'm going to fucking destroy the monarchy. So if I can't get anywhere as a white supremacist, then I'll become a fucking Muslim. Somebody's going to give me some fucking action. Somebody's going to make me feel like a fucking big man. Somebody's going to make me feel important. Because when it really comes down to it, I'm a fucking nobody. And this is why I don't fear these motherfuckers. I've challenged the fucking Klan face to fucking face. That's why it's hard for me to take these motherfuckers seriously. Oh, well, you know, you can't really, you know, fight racism like that. Have you ever dealt with a Klansman face to face? Well, I wouldn't put myself in that situation. I didn't have that choice. I didn't have that fucking choice. And like I've told you on this show before, I've had family killed by the fucking Klan. You know, and it took me a long fucking time. But I've gotten to the fucking point I realized I'm not going to be afraid of somebody that's so motherfucking really afraid of me that they got to step to that kind of goddamn action. Because you're really fucking scared of me. My daddy used to say this shit. He was a gullah man from goddamn South Carolina, Monk's motherfucking corner. He said it. If you got to put a hood on to go after a motherfucker, you're a punk. You're a fucking punk. You're a fucking punk. So I don't fear these bastards. I know what the fuck they can do. I'm worried about what the fuck they could do to me and my goddamn family. But I'm not fucking afraid of them. I'm not afraid of anybody that needs to bring a fucking field-grade goddamn weapon to pick up a fucking softie in a fucking civilian fucking environment. You're a fucking coward. And that's all Trump represents, is the fucking punkiness. What America has become. Wasn't always like this. At one goddamn time, let's go back in history 100 fucking years. The Republican Party used to be about something. They used to be the fucking radical liberals. They used to support women's rights. They used to support Native American rights. They used to support fucking anti-slavery and the fucking rights of black people. But they want to continue to put this shit on Democrats because they got nothing the fuck else. They got to pull out these old moldy motherfucking canards because they got nothing the fuck else. They have no fucking platform other than give the rich their fucking money because I don't know what else to do. I'm missing 85. Tell me what the fuck to do while I accuse everybody else of being a fucking robot. Because it's ego, Brother Bob. It's ego. They don't give a fuck. They want to feel better than somebody else. When you look at Alex Jones, you're looking at a weak son of a bitch who's yelling all the goddamn time. Yeah, I'm raising my fucking voice, but I'm raising my voice so I can be fucking heard. Alex Jones is a fucking nutcase. He's a dangerous, sick son of a bitch. And he's also got fucking press credentials now. So does that goddamn Jim Hoff.
And angry, he has a constituency.
Yeah. which makes him dangerous. And here you and I are on the fucking internet on our respective shows. And like I said, I got my differences with Mike Malloy, but fucking Mike Malloy's out here. He's been kicked around on every goddamn station that he's ever fucking been on, just about every motherfucking outlet. And yeah, I know he puts a lot of it to talking about Israel, but the point is, he's a white man talking about racism. You are a right man talking about racism. You know, Maddow brings it up every now and again, but she's getting a little backup because Israel can do whatever, and she just, you know, very softly glides over it. And that's another thing, now that we're talking about it, since, you know, we're going to, you know, don't have that much fucking time. What the fuck is it with the Hasbara / Zionist / pro-Israel lobby when it comes to Trump? He's backed by neo-Nazis and the fucking Klan, but they're still talking about Obama, who gave them just about everything they wanted except, you know, exact shit to fucking do genocide. I mean,
yeah, the only thing he didn't do was give tacit approval to just saying, screw it, run over everybody and build yourself settlements wherever you want.
I mean, they did it to Pappy Bush, too. He cut their money at one point, remember, for the settlements. He's like, this isn't what we agreed to. But then his evangelical fucking son, ne'er-do-well son, came in and said, well, fuck it, you know. You know, that's the land of Jesus. He walked there. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, have you ever taken the time? It's sickening. But if you ever taken the time to visit any of these neo-Nazi websites, they're actually turning on Trump because he went to the Wailing Wall.
especially after the Israel trip, when the entire filthy right-wing nationalist world decided that Trump had become, in their word, a cuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. Again, just like the I went from being a neo-Nazi to an Islamist extremist to the point where I'm going to go to the job of my two fucking roommates and blast them and then hold the other motherfucker hostage and shit, you know. But hey, you know, Dylan Roof, John Hauser, Gerard and Amanda Miller, Sean DeFord, JT Reddy, Eric Frine. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. You know, the Hutari, you know, Anders Breivik was in and out of the United States, in and out of Britain. You know, hey, at what point do we say the real fucking problem is what the fuck the United States inadvertently got started? Because I know it's hard to tell a lot of these pro-Russian lefties out here that everything isn't necessarily a fucking plot, that these fuckers make a lot of goddamn mistakes that are inadvertent. Al-Qaeda was an accident. They didn't do that shit on purpose. The same thing with funding these motherfucking Syrians, that, you know, the extremist Syrians, religious extremists, they were against Assad.
Oh, by the way, you mentioned Syrians. We've got more problems.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Because as Sandra pointed out to me earlier, we just killed 35 more civilians in the eastern part of the country.
With SEALs, no less.
Airstrikes, right?
Oh, you mean with airstrikes. But you heard about the SEAL contacts, too. You know, they basically reacted when they were on two operations, including the one where he blamed the Navy for the operative that was killed. I mean, look, I'm no fucking warmonger, man, but, you know, my goddamn family's Navy, and, you know, for the fucking blame the commanders for sending them out on some shit that you just signed off over fucking chocolate cake when all the fuck you ever did was sit in goddamn military fucking school. Fuck you, man. You know,
you remember when Trump said, we're going to kill their wives, we're going to kill their children?
Oh, yeah.
Well, according to an observer group, 26 relatives of IS fighters, women and children, including Syrians and Moroccans, were killed in the airstrike. The other 9 are Syrian civilians and include 5 children.
And, of course, that's not going to piss anybody off, you know.
No.
No, you know, because they're not really people. They're not really human beings. And yeah, you know, mistakes happen and all that bullshit, collateral damage. You know, I understand that. But, you know, just like with the collateral murder thing, you know, it's one thing to soldiers to make a fucking mistake. I'm not saying that shit was okay and then they should have fucking let it drop. No. But when people came to fucking help them and they blasted them and fucking shot those kids up, I mean, where, you know, how do you make an excuse for that? You got people sitting in prison who were doing 25 to fucking life because they made a fucking mistake. And then you got deliberate shit out here and they're just like, well, hey, everybody has a bad day. As long as you're a Republican, it's just a bad day. You know, I mean, he didn't know. I mean, somebody told me this yesterday. Trump didn't know what he was doing when he was dancing around with that sword with those guys, that war dance. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just trying to be friendly. I said, yeah, that's pretty funny because, you know, going back to the Duke of Windsor, they said that he was just being friendly when he visited Hitler with Wallace Simpson. And see, he was sick hiling and clicking his heels and shit all through the fucking trip. He was just being friendly. Obama goes over and eats the food. Well, that means he's a traitor. He shakes hands and tries to make some kind of fucking reasonable peace with the Iranians. You know, he's a traitor. And then we have this.
He's on an apology tour.
He's on an apology tour. But I watched this motherfucker curtsy, just like you did. That was a bitch curtsy. I'm sorry. It's one thing to fucking...
I've seen some damnable things, but...
Yeah, but that,
as my buddy from Southern West Virginia says, that beat cats fucking.
Oh, pfft. Damn.
And while we're at it, Angry, lest it slide under the radar, I really don't want to miss out on pointing out that there is not a goddamn bit of doubt anymore among anybody with a working brain that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is a liar.
Oh yeah, you mean the Russian when he got called out
by Senator Elizabeth Warren and Mitch McConnell muzzled her for pointing out that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is a liar. It was bad enough. But now it turns out that he, like other members of the Trump regime, just ignored federal laws requiring disclosure of meetings with foreign agents. In this case, Sergei Kislyak. And Sessions, who claimed that, well, I didn't realize I was supposed to disclose that meeting because that was when I was a senator and not a nominee. Well, he doesn't have that excuse now with regard to the form that he left blank and arguably broke the law over. And Senator Warren is vindicated. And from a personal standpoint, since Joe Manchin is my senior senator in my state, I want to know how Baloney Joe feels about his full-throated defense of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, now that we know that Beauregard is a goddamn liar.
Yeah, well, he'll just ignore any question like that, like the rest of them. I mean, you know, they've been defending Gianforte, so they're defending Sessions the same way. You know, I mean, they're defending the plagiarism of the thesis from Sheriff Clark for Homeland Security Deputy Secretary or whatever. So, you know, look. Let's really get the fucking brass tacks. When you're dealing with a fucking liar, when you're dealing with, you know, with somebody, you know that they're going to fucking fall back and, you know, blame you for everything that that they're doing. They're going to accuse you of and such and so on. So, you know, there's no way to have a reasonable fucking conversation with someone like that. Now, what could, of course, you know, turn a lot of this over is the press. But is the press willing to do this? Because that it would be an indictment on them for allowing, you know, this shit to go on as far as it's fucking gone anyway. And whether it's Sessions, whether it's Manafort, whether it's I mean, that's Trump directly. I mean, you know, the FBI is looking at Kushner too, right?
That's confirmed now. That was confirmed today. He is the person of interest inside the Trump regime.
With all of this. I mean, even as Sheriff Clark has dealt with the Russians, there is not one person that he has named except for Betsy DeVos. She's the only person so far that I haven't heard of any Russian collusion. But just about every fucking buddy else has had some kind of connections to them. And I'm going to say something else because, you know, now that you brought this up, because I wasn't going to talk about this. But, you know, you and I both have been criticizing whatever the fuck the left is supposed to be here in North America, at least in the lower 48, because Canada has more of their shit together for the most part. I'm not talking about Trudeau. I'm talking about the left. But, you know, there's been a lot of fucking confusion here as to what the fuck we're actually supposed to do, especially when you look at a thing like Sessions. I mean, how many more fucking people have to come out that have had connections to the Russians? Now, one of the things that Brennan said is true. Now, I know we can talk about how fucked up Brennan is and blah, 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 blah. But what he said was true. Now, I've been running the Aboriginal Press News Service since 1999 in some way, shape or form. You know, I'm putting up shit, you know, before the blogs on various listservs, what have you. I've been on this grind on the Internet for a while because it's an open platform. I didn't have to deal with editors necessarily. I can just put it up. I'm saying right now, he made a motherfucking statement that said that people can be working for the Russians and not really know that they're working for the Russians. You follow me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. Now, I used to get...
And I've seen plenty of examples that fall within that category.
Within that category. I mean, I don't want to name a couple of these podcasts, but I know a bunch of them have been doing this. And I know how they fell into that. How do I know, Brother Bob? Because Russia Today used to send me fucking leads. Or at least it was a mail server purporting to be Russia Today. I also used to get shit supposedly from Press TV. And, you know, every now and again. But then I started asking myself, why would they send a nobody motherfucker like me that puts out a blog for indigenous people? Not just North American, but indigenous people around the world, the entire fourth world. Why would they send me shit? Because they realize that I'm trying to get indigenous people to understand where we are politically. But the point is, I didn't fucking fall for it. You know, they were putting out job leads. Oh, we're looking for editors in the United States. And then you see politicians like George Galloway in the UK, who I have no beef with. But he's got a show on RT, or at least he used to have a couple of shows on RT. You got Abby Martin. You got a few people. But the thing about it is, RT is a state-sponsored fucking news service. It's not like Al Jazeera.
It absolutely is.
Which is independently run in Qatar, who gets slammed by the government of Qatar, who have had their offices attacked by various fucking governments and shit, and accidental, oh, we didn't know you had a news service over there. Oh, we're sorry that we hit that place. Oops, we killed some of your reporters. Oh, wow, sorry, you know. Can we send you some coffee and donuts tomorrow and shit to make up for? You know, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. So fucking I realized after a while that what they do is they try to play on fucking, you know, lefty, you know, quasi lefty fucking reporters and bloggers and what have you and podcasters and try to get them to put their motherfucking material out to basically present Russia's argument, right, on certain subjects. And when you try to tell some of these know-it-all motherfucking, I'm an expert lefty at fucking 22, I don't give a fuck about how many fucking things you've done and all that bullshit, you know, saying to me, they don't realize this. And I'm like, don't you, what the fuck makes you think that Russia loves the black man? What the fuck makes you think Russia respects its indigenous fucking people? What the fuck makes you think Russia gives a damn about Jews? They were forced to because of fucking communism. Trotsky was told by Lenin, do not let fucking Stalin, who should be on your side, being he's a fucking Georgian, right? Don't let that motherfucking anti-Semitic son of a bitch get the head of the party, because you will be doomed and the rest of your fucking people, he's going to go after them. And that's exactly what the fuck happened. Jews didn't get any respite until Stalin fucking died or was murdered, depending on who the fuck you ask.
You know, and it's like we got to understand these fucking political things. There is no 100 fucking monolithic, perfection in any of this. Yes, I supported Bernie fucking Sanders, and I still do. Is he a perfect fucking socialist? Absolutely goddamn not. He's voted for shit that I find kind of reprehensible. But then at the same time, he's supposed to represent the people in his motherfucking district. So, you know, what the fuck? But we got to be clear about what the hell is going on. You know, I just got into a fucking disagreement with somebody this afternoon who thought that Macron was a socialist. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah.
No.
Hey, Angry, we got to get out of here, brother.
Okay. Hey, man, you know.
We're at the end of the program.
Yeah, I'm glad to be able to speak to you. You know, I'm glad you're feeling a little better. I'm glad Jim is doing better. I'm glad everybody is, you know, chipping in and doing what they can. But please, I know it's fucking difficult. You hear me say this every time I sign out. But Bob really needs your help to keep this fucking show on the air. Because when you really take into account what the hell is being put out here in the airwaves, there is not reality. There are not the voices of real people. What Jim was saying today should have been heard on C-SPAN. It was an American voice speaking reasonably. So if you want that kind of radio, please do what you can, especially my UK and American, and Australian listeners who pipe into this show. Please go on PayPal, do whatever you can do. Keep the show on the air. Peace.
Thanks, Angry. How about the Angry Indian? And yeah, we got $115 to go to finish off. For this evening, so we don't have to have any Friday on the Front Porch miracles. But hopefully that'll remedy maybe in the next hour or so, and probably a couple of licks overnight. So I will thank you for joining in on this Thursday. By the way, I had an update to tell you. The woman who said all of this.
Run your mouth. I'll go back to
Mexico. Listen, I said, excuse me.
Go back wherever you're from.
I said, excuse me. Don't be rude.
You're the one that's rude.
No, I said,
yes,
excuse me. I'm trying to buy something.
You're in America.
So?
You're in America.
So what?
That's none of your business. Stay out of it.
I don't need to stay out of it.
I said, excuse me.
For everybody to hear. Stop being ignorant.
A nigger's calling me ignorant.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Mexico and all that stuff.
Oh, my goodness. You are very rude.
No, you're the one that's rude.
I said, excuse me, because I'm trying to grab my medicine.
You told me. You know what you told me.
I said, if you don't like it, I'm sorry.
Just go on.
What?
Tells her to go on and get out of the aisle. Hell. Well, that's Bentonville, Arkansas, the very beating heart of Walmart itself. And later on, there's a happy ending of sorts, which is the young yellow vest management type comes in and tells the cranky white, tells the woman with the economic anxiety. It's obvious she has economic anxiety. That she's the one being the problem. What does she do? She looks at the young man and says, "What's your name?" Because by God, she's going to march her white privileged ass up to the management desk, and she's going to get her some justice. Bentonville, Arkansas. You just go on. You go on. No?
No.
How many generations is it going to take for this kind of stoops dies out? Will it? I don't know. Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Burt. Thank you, the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.
They promise a better life, purity, a way to erase modernity, and get rid of people who don't think like them. In song and words, they tell their followers to fight for what they believe in. Sound familiar? Are there similarities between, for example, white supremacist groups here in the United States and ISIS?
Well, in a lot of ways, they're almost identical.
Bob Baer should know. He spent decades as a CIA operative in the Middle East. Now back in America, he points out the grievances of homegrown hate groups virtually match those of terrorist groups in the Middle East.
I think at the bottom of this, there's a feeling of both for the ISIS and white supremacists, a feeling of injustice, whether it was from the South or a marginalized, white people, and they think that they've been robbed of something. You look at the Sunnis, ISIS, those people think they were robbed with the invasion of Iraq, and they are trying to reimpose justice.
Dylan Roof is a case in point. A website registered in his name features a manifesto that blasts modern America and blames black people and other minorities for its current state. I hate the sight of the American flag. Modern American patriotism is an absolute joke. And goes on to say, I have no choice. I am not in the position to, alone, go into the ghetto and fight. And online is where Roof and so many other angry, dispossessed people now find an audience for their hateful views.
Whether it's ISIS or American domestic extremists are looking for young people, generally in their 20s, socially isolated, who either have a little bit of familiarity with the ideology or are unstable, frustrated, and angry and would be susceptible to it.
The main difference? ISIS is actually more sophisticated in its messaging, using slick videos. White supremacists, not so much. Still, ask any expert on the subject and they'll tell you homegrown terrorism is more dangerous to the average American than ISIS. Take a look at this map created by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups in America. Those are the numbers of hate groups in each state. And former CIA operative Baer says predicting their members' behavior is far more difficult than that of ISIS recruits.
Frankly, I'm more worried about domestic terrorism because the fact is most of them are fairly benign. Just because you fly the rebel flag doesn't mean you're going to turn violent.
The real danger is when the message connects with someone like Dylan Roof, ready, willing, and able to carry it out. Sarah Seidner, CNN, Los Angeles.
For the best in indigenous chat radio for intelligent, politically aware Aboriginals, listen to Fourth World Radio, hosted by the Angry Indian, and broadcast by Aboriginal Press News Service, public radio over the World Wide Web, to the international indigenous community, and all ships at sea. Learn more at aboriginalradio.wordpress.com.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
You, Trump. We'll see you on the streets. Am I disappointed? Yes. But am I surprised? Hell no.
It clearly shows what the country is made up of, what the country was founded on.
Darwinism described the United States as a greedy, hypocritical, racist, white supremacist, evil, warmongering nation.
Donald Trump is just a symptom of a greater system that has basically f***ed up for my people for over 500 years.
To me, the United States was founded in violence, developed in violence, and violence is an American, U.S. American tradition.
The thing that's rattling around in my brain is all of this militarized police and the attacks and everything that's been happening happened under the Obama administration. And I can't help but question what might happen under a Trump administration.
Now we have a really strong enemy to organize against that causes us to say, hey, we gotta get our together.
If you or your wife or anyone you love has ever been mugged or molested or walked the streets in fear, you should see the movie Death Wish and see what one man did about it. He got himself a gun and went hunting for muggers. Dino De Laurentiis presents Charles Bronson in Death Wish.
Death Wish, a Michael Winner film at the Paramount Lower Regent Street now. Certificate X. Death Wish.
I'm a new breed of American with quite a lot to say. As patriotic and religious as you get. I'm a brand new kind of Christian in the good old USA. And you don't know what to make of me quite yet. You liberal folks are just too analytical. You're called the intellectual elite. You like to use big words like hypocritical, just because my words and actions hardly meet. Well, welcome to Jesus land, where we made George Bush the president, and now we can command that the people of this country live exactly as we planned. Welcome to Jesus land. Just look on any dollar bill. It says in God we trust, so we ask his help in everything we do. Now we got freedom of religion. I reckon that means that we must tolerate the atheist and Jew. But Jesus is the man and our salvation. And every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land. Now W's a married man, and Laura is his wife. Of their family values and beliefs we sing. They oppose a woman's right to choose because they're both pro-life. And execution, well, that's another thing. George goes to church where he'll sing from his hymnal, because Jesus once protected him from harm. But if you're a convicted death row criminal, he's been known to stick a needle in your arm. Welcome to Jesus' land, where that Moses guy says, try to pry this rifle from my hand. The Prince of Peace don't want my AK-47 to be banned. Welcome to Jesus' land. Rush Limbaugh is the people's voice, cause we sure like to listen. He's a moral and a real straight-talking guy, who says crack-smoking addicts should all go straight to prison. We don't care that when he said it, he was high. O'Reilly is another moral beacon. That married man got no spin in his zone. He's always right, politically speaking. Once he's finished talking dirty on the phone.
Shut up!
Welcome to Jesus Land, where we see the Lord in every Walmart, Sears, and Disneyland. And where some may turn the other cheek, we draw lines in the sand. Welcome to Jesus Land. Yeah, in Jesus Land, everyone knows better. But it's not a place you liberal folks can find. You see, it's not a state that's red or even redder. Now, Jesus Land is just a state of mind. Jesus Land is here to stay. Don't judge me by the way I live, just live by what I say. It's Jesus' will to build a neo-Christian USA. Welcome to Jesus' land. Welcome to Jesus' land.
Guitarman.com.
Hey, this is Ra LaMata.
And Donna from Epsi.
And you're listening to a
Creative Commons licensed podcast.
Word.
Fuck you, Trump. We'll see you on the streets. Am I disappointed? Yes. But am I surprised? Hell no.
It clearly shows what the country is made up of, what the country was founded on.
Darwin described the United States as a greedy, hypocritical, racist, white supremacist, evil, warmongering nation.
Donald Trump is just a symptom of a greater system that has basically f***ed up for my people for over 500 years.
To me, the United States was founded in violence, developed in violence, and violence is an American, U.S. American tradition.
The thing that's rattling around in my brain is all of this militarized police and the attacks and everything that's been happening happened under the Obama administration. And I can't help but question what might happen under a Trump administration.
Now we have a really strong enemy to organize against that. It causes us to say, hey, we gotta get our together.
On the 4th of July, in 1995, a county commissioner in Nye County, Nevada, which is here in southern Nevada, Nye County, a county commissioner in Nye County decided to celebrate Independence Day by declaring that Nye County, Nevada was independent of the United States of America. He got into a bulldozer and he drove that bulldozer over to some federally owned land in Nye County. It was part of a national forest, and he used the bulldozer to bust through that closed road in that national forest. He claimed that all federal land was under his control because the federal government had no authority in little Nye County, Nevada.
NBC News in depth tonight. More on the fight over the role of the federal government. In the American West, it's an all-out brawl called the Sagebrush Rebellion. On one side, the federal government. On the other, some landowners and some local governments. And the battle is threatening to turn very ugly. NBC's Roger O'Neill tonight has the first part of our in-depth report.
In the land of wide open spaces, there's a new land war. The federal government owns almost half the property in the West, and the fight is over who should control it. The first shot was fired in Nevada. Captured on home video, Dick Carver, a county supervisor, reopened a road in the Toyabe National Forest. Two federal rangers said they were threatened. It was the 4th of July, and it became a declaration of independence for a new rebellion, this time from the feds.
And on the one hand, it is sort of funny, right? This little county in Nevada, this one county commissioner bulldozing his way across the national forest saying, "This land is mine. This is ours. The U.S. government doesn't exist here." On the one hand, it's funny, except for the fact that this was happening in the context of bombs that kept going off in federal government offices all over that part of the country. Now, that bulldozing was July 4th. It was Independence Day in 1995. In March of 1995, a U.S. Forest Service employee named Guy Pence had had a pipe bomb set off in his office at the U.S. Forest Service. 5 months later, another pipe bomb blew up in a van that was parked outside his house. His wife and his daughter were home at the time, but thankfully they were not injured. On January 6, 1996, the following year, a bomb exploded just outside the U.S. Forest Service headquarters in Española, New Mexico. And that was the second time in less than a year that a Forest Service headquarters had been bombed. It also happened in March 1995 in Carson City, Nevada.
A bomb went off in a U.S. Forest Service office in Carson City, Nevada, blowing out windows, but there was no major damage, no injuries, no claim of responsibility either.
Beyond those Forest Service bombings, at around the same time, two Bureau of Land Management offices were also bombed. So that was all happening 1994, 1995, 1996. Of course, if you think about it, in the middle of all that was the anti-federal government bombing that took place 19 years ago this week in April 1995 in Oklahoma City. The bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Office Building in Oklahoma City. That building contained regional offices for the ATF, recruiting offices for the U.S. military, regional offices for the Secret Service and the DEA and the Social Security Administration. The Oklahoma City bomber and his accomplice were both part of something called the Sovereign Citizen Movement, which doesn't recognize the authority of the federal government. Part of the reason that Timothy McVeigh was found and arrested after the Oklahoma bombing was that his car didn't have proper license plates. That's one of the things that is a hallmark of the Sovereign Citizens Movement. They refuse to register their cars under proper authority. Those guys from the Oklahoma City bombing were also part of the armed militia movement at the time. County officials saying they didn't, saying that they only recognized county officials. They did not recognize the authority of the United States of America, right? We also had county officials bulldozing their way down federal roads at the time. The ongoing bombings of federal offices that not only preceded Oklahoma City, but still kept happening after Oklahoma City. I mean, you look back, what is remarkable about the politics of that time, and which suddenly is newly relevant in today's news, is that at the time, there were these relatively mainstream figures on the American right, mainstream figures, members of Congress, who basically said they went to Washington, they went to Congress to represent these radical splinter groups that said they didn't believe in the existence of the United States of America.
To better understand the Sagebrush Rebellion, you need to know who's on their side. Surprising answers tonight in part two of In Depth from NBC's Lisa Myers.
Hello. I'm Helen Chenoweth.
In many ways, Representative Helen Chenoweth is the personification of the Sagebrush Rebellion.
My battle is to maintain the culture and the heritage and the lifestyle that we have here in the West.
She wants states to take back control of land from the federal government and to weaken environmental regulations and protection of endangered species.
Spotted owls are supposed to have 4,000 acres per nesting pair of spotted owls. I mean, I don't even know how they find each other in 4,000 acres, but that's beside the point.
If she stopped there, Chenoweth would merely be a conservative with a Western flair. What distinguishes her and some of her freshman colleagues is their firm belief that the federal government has crossed the line, that instead of protecting individuals, it routinely tyrannizes them.
Do you believe that federal employees on balance are agents of tyranny?
No, I believe the nature of government can be tyrannical and has become tyrannical.
Critics accuse her of stirring up fear and pandering to extremists.
She appeals to the very far right in Idaho and I think in this country.
What really put Chenoweth on the national map, for better or for worse, was her refusal to criticize the militia movement in the wake of the Oklahoma bombing. She still refuses.
My responsibility as a congressman is to represent everyone equally, whether I feel entirely comfortable with them, whether they're my best friends or not.
Whether she's a pioneer for the West or a standard bearer for extremists, Chenoweth is comfortable in the forefront of what she calls a real rebellion against the federal government. Lisa Myers, NBC News, The Capitol.
Helen Chenoweth is long gone. She left Congress in 2000 after confessing to an adulterous affair that she had, even though she had said President Bill Clinton should resign over his adulterous affair. Helen Chenoweth then sadly died in a car accident in 2006. But the politics that made her famous are either back now or they never went away in the first place. Only this time around, they don't just have a few random members of Congress that NBC has to go out to the Capitol and dig out of the far right fringe of the Republican Party. This time, for those politics, they've got the primetime stars of a big cable news network called the Fox News Channel, which has been very busy for several days now, more than a week now, trying to turn this particular guy into a household name.
This is what we, the people, are asking this morning. Disarm the Park Service. At Lake Mead and Red Rock Park and all other parks that the federal government claims they have jurisdiction over. Yeah. Take your county bulldozers and loaders and tear down the entrance places. You get the county equipment out there and tear those things down this morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You disarm those Park Service people. We want those arms delivered right here under these flags in 1 hour. And media?
Yes, media documented.
Are you here, media?
Yeah.
I want you to go to every place that they got a federal Park Service station, and you watch those county machines tear down those places today in the next hour. And if you report back to these people, we the people, in 1 hour, if they're not done, then we'll decide what we're going to do from this point on. Yeah. Thank you.
You have 1 hour to send the county machines out to tear down the entrance places at the federal land and disarm the federal agents. 1 hour. Media, you document it. This is one of these guys in Nevada who's not recognized the existence of the United States of America. And these guys have been around for a long time, right? In 1995, one Nevada county official did go and bulldoze a federal road in a national forest in order to prove that the U.S. government didn't really exist in Nevada. But now, these same guys are back, and they're demanding that the local sheriff go do that again within the hour, that the local sheriff go take county machines and disarm federal officials and arrest any federal officials, officials from the federal government that have trespassed in Nevada, which to these guys is not part of the United States. And if you are flashing back to the mid-90s and looking at this stuff, it's not just because of the demanding the bulldozer, right? It's not just because of the bulldozer references. It may also be because when you heard that sheriff there being yelled at by that local rancher that he needed to go bulldoze federal properties, that he needed to go disarm federal agents, you see there's guys standing in front of them, standing in front of the stage there, facing away from them, right? Well, he's making these claims. These sort of fake military guys standing in front of the stage, standing in front of the guy who does not recognize the existence of the United States, they are 1990s-style militiamen. You can see in this photo from NBC News, the guy on the left there has what I presume to be unregulation facial hair, the self-proclaimed rank of captain. He's wearing captain's bars on his fatigues there. I say it's self-proclaimed, though, because his patch on his uniform is not from any U.S. military operation. It says Praetorian Guard. Praetorian Guard is the name that the Arizona State Militia has given themselves. They say on their website right now they are recruiting patriots statewide. They want you to know that China has upped its military spending recently, and they've posted a very sleepy picture, sleepy-looking picture of Antonin Scalia, and said underneath that picture that the news that there's internment camps coming back. The militia guys from Arizona and from all over, you probably heard, they descended on Nevada this past week and over this past weekend to turn a long-standing but kind of boring dispute over grazing fees between the federal government and one of these guys who doesn't believe in the federal government. These militia guys descended on that site in Nevada over the last few days to try to turn that sort of boring bureaucratic conflict into something that is a little bit more like a war.
On a bridge in Bunkerville, holding high-power scoped rifles, these men took cover, prepared to shoot, prepared to die.
We're here to protect our freedom. Had to happen sometime, might as well happen now, right?
This Saturday, he took position with other gunmen, taking the high ground as federal agents waited in the wash below. Between them, men, women, and their children marched toward a fence.
They're getting ready to launch stuff at us. Get ready.
On the other side of the fence, Bureau of Land Management agents, also armed, also took cover.
This is reporting from the local CBS affiliate KLAS from over the weekend. Obviously, they are covering the drama here of this armed standoff not very far outside the major city of Las Vegas. But they're also noting how freaking weird it is to have a political dispute resolved in this country in the 21st century based pretty much on which side brought more guns to the political argument. Watch.
On the streets of Las Vegas, when gunmen point weapons at sworn peace officers, they're often shot and killed. But in Bunkerville, these men held the bridge. The difference between these gunmen and gunmen in our urban streets comes down to a political cause.
At some point, you have to draw a line in the sand, as you will. This is it.
Regretfully, we didn't get this man's name.
No.
Our photographer was fearful of possible crossfire should shooting happen and kept moving. But this gunman and the others pledged to be back because these anti-federalist protesters got their first victory. Not by the ballot, not by rallies, but on a bridge with guns aimed at police.
Got their victory not by the ballot, not by rallies, but on a bridge with guns aimed at police. And as that report from KLAS notes, this dispute in Nevada really is basically over now. At least the dramatic part is over. The federal government stopped trying to enforce federal law about grazing fees, stopped trying to enforce a court order that said they could enforce that federal law. And they backed off because people showed up with guns to stop them from enforcing that court order. And while that is a remarkable form of dispute resolution for this country in the 21st century, it's also true that the drama is also kind of over. The guy who says he does not believe in the United States is still refusing to pay the grazing fees that everybody else pays to let his cows eat grass on federal land. And the government says they'll continue to work to resolve the matter administratively and judicially. So the drama here is over. But the drama being over, of course, that is terrible news for the people who have basically been selling tickets to what they hoped was going to be a shooting war involving anti-government zealots in the American Southwest. I mean, the right has been hyping this as a fight almost to the point of hysteria.
This could be how the shot heard around the world happens. In this case, or others that are happening, if they ever fire on innocent peaceful people trying to take stolen cattle and act like the mercenaries they are, this could turn into 1776 very quickly.
Yeah, and we are we're totally disgusted with this type of government. And I don't think we, the people, are going to stand it. And I'm not going to stand. I'm going to stand as long as it takes and do whatever it takes to get this job.
Incredible. Well, we'll get updates from you in the next few days, sir, to find out what unfolds.
That was the rancher who doesn't believe in the authority of the federal government of the United States on the radio show of the conspiracy theory guy who's kind of the king of the 9/11 truthers. He's the one who also says the Boston bombing was perpetrated by the U.S. government. Also, the Newtown school shooting was perpetrated by the U.S. government. He's also the one who says the U.S. government creates tornadoes and uses them as weather weapons. The Koch brothers funded groups, Americans for Prosperity, the affiliates of Americans for Prosperity in Nevada and also in Colorado online. They've been trying to popularize this fight with this rancher in Nevada, popularizing it to a national audience. Hashtag big government. Hashtag top conservatives on Twitter. Hashtag Bundy battle is heating up in Nevada. Read more here. The conservative magazine, The National Review, at The National Review online, they say, if you want to see the case for limited government, consider the siege happening in this dusty corner of Nevada. Remember when there was going to be a trucker blockade of Washington, D.C., where hundreds, no, thousands, no, millions, no, billions of truckers were going to slowly circle the nation's capital on the Washington Beltway and bring the federal government to its knees unless Nancy Pelosi was arrested and they had all these other demands? The guy who was the spokesman for that trucker's ride for the Constitution this past fall, the guy who said if that trucker uprising didn't work, then there should be an armed uprising against the federal government, the guy who apparently received a little bit of attention from the Secret Service after saying and then reiterating that Hillary Clinton should be shot because Benghazi, that guy apparently still has and does a radio show. And on his radio show, he's also hosted the Nevada rancher who's in this fight. So he's appeared there as well. Glenn Beck's website has been as breathless over the story as anybody else on the right. Nevada rancher taking on the government in a battle that's reaching the breaking point. And, of course, there's the mother of them all, our friends at World Net Daily. You remember the World Net Daily guys, right? They're the show us the real birth certificate people, the Obama conspiracy theory website superstore. World Net Daily recently blasted out their exclusive news, quote, news, that even though the story appeared to end this weekend at that standoff in Nevada, it appeared to end when the federal government gave in to all the militia guys who were pointing guns at them and the government walked away from the cattle grazing dispute. WorldNet Daily says that was just a ploy to lull everybody into submission. And actually, they had sources that said, according to their sources, and what their sources were hearing from their sources, from their sources, from their sources, what they were able to, quote, report, was that the federal government actually was about to launch a midnight raid. Quote, and there probably would be violence involved, says WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily's source is a guy from this militia movement, which says that only county sheriffs have real authority and the federal government doesn't exist. WorldNet Daily source says he's hearing that a federal raid is coming. He tells WorldNet Daily, quote, I don't think it would be possible to launch such a raid without violence. I don't think the Bundy family would lie down and be taken. Now, on the one hand, who cares, right? I mean, who cares what WorldNet Daily says? These are the people with the whole birth certificate conspiracy thing about President Obama. They're the ones who say President Obama is not only secretly foreign, he's secretly a Muslim, and he's secretly gay, and he's secretly gay married. A few days ago, they published an alert to America that what might have looked like a lunar eclipse was actually a blood moon divine warning to President Obama that he should stop passing so many executive orders. Yes, seriously. But what is cockamamie and hilarious and sometimes even a little sad on the right, it becomes something else when a media institution called the Fox News Channel decides to promote the worst of this stuff, when they drag this stuff up out of the far right, rather pitiful fringe, and they turn it into a national conservative cause celeb. And that's what the Fox News Channel has done with this story in Nevada. And this is the important thing, I think. It didn't end this weekend when the standoff ended in Nevada. I mean, yeah, they pumped this up until this thing happened. Fox News and all these other right-wing outlets were building up this Nevada rancher who doesn't believe in the U.S. government. They were building him up all last week. The right-wing press, both online and on the radio and on Fox News, they were hyping this confrontation. They were turning this guy into a huge hero. But then when there was this big standoff this weekend and it ended with lots of guns there but without anybody getting shot, the Fox News Channel was palpably disappointed. And since then, they have gone into overdrive, trying to revive the standoff, essentially trying to get the armed standoff going again.
United States government versus the Nevada rancher, Clive and Bundy, and Bundy, with the backing of a grassroots swell from freedom fighters and a slew of TV cameras, successfully got the feds to back down.
This is a Fox News alert. The federal government may have surrendered in the battle against Nevada rancher, Clive and Bundy, but according to Senator Harry Reid, this, in fact, is not the end.
One of the primetime hosts on the Fox News Channel last night, and I kid you not, he led his primetime show on Fox with the WorldNet Daily story about how they heard from guys who heard from guys who heard from guys who heard that there is going to be a midnight federal raid on that ranch, and it's going to be a violent one. That was their lead story. I mean, to be clear, the only place that story is coming from is crazy WorldNet Daily. And the rancher, the I don't believe in the U.S. government rancher, came on as Sean Hannity's guest on his Fox News program. And Mr. Hannity asked the rancher about this claim in the WorldNet Daily website about the fact that there's going to be a federal raid on his ranch. And the rancher answered by referencing the fact that we recently had a very suspicious blood moon. Did you hear about that? That maybe there was this suspicious federal blood moon that was made up by the government? I swear this happened. I'm not making this up.
Welcome to Hannity, and this is a Fox News alert. The federal government may have surrendered in the battle against Nevada rancher Clive and Bundy, but according to Senator Harry Reid, this, in fact, is not the end. But first, according to online reports, a former Nevada sheriff claims that his sources inside the federal government say that the Bureau of Land Management may be quietly planning to raid the Bundy Ranch. So given that warning, could there be another standoff brewing tonight? Back with us is the rancher himself, Clive and Bundy. We're also joined by his daughter, Stetsy, and his son, Amon, is back with us. Guys, welcome back to the program. There's been a lot of reports about this. What do you make of the sheriff's comments, Cliven?
I really don't know nothing about that. You know, I can say one thing. We had a beautiful moon last night. Yeah. And I thought, you know, that thing might be fixed up there by the federal government, but I'm not sure. It wasn't different. That was for sure.
All right.
What do you think about this conspiracy theory that somebody made up over WorldNet Daily? I don't know, but I like that other conspiracy theory from WorldNet Daily, the one about the moon. Okay. This is what's happening on Fox News Channel right now in primetime, in case you haven't been watching. This actual story in Nevada is dead. It's over. At least the threat of armed anti-government zealots having a shooting war with the federal government seems to have cooled down a little bit. But the Fox News Channel, in all its glory, is doing everything it can to trying to bring that threat back. And on the one hand, it's hilarious and pitiful. On the other hand, it is playing with fire. Because what they're talking about here is not the distant past. It is a violent past in our country, and it would be one thing if Fox News was trying to gin up armed conflict in ignorance of what this kind of conflict has resulted in the past in our country, but they're not ignorant about it. They know exactly what it is that they are playing with here, and it's clear they know how things like this can end, because they themselves keep bringing it up.
With innocent people being killed, like at Waco, Texas, and we don't want any of that to happen. No.
For those that don't remember the Branch Davidian and the Waco compound, I mean, that was out of control. Or those, you can go back to Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver or Elian Gonzalez, which both of us were covering at the time. This seems to be a moment where we really need to stand back.
Hey, Bob, a lot of memories coming back, Waco and Ruby Ridge, right?
I see Ruby Ridge, Waco coming right back, and it would be a tragedy.
I mean, in all those instances, obviously, the government was wrong in Waco. The government was wrong at Ruby Ridge, except the people in those situations were also pretty goofy. So what the government should do is just back off.
I'll be honest. We saw what happened at Waco and the Branch Davidians. I'm concerned. We have exclusive details on what some say may become the next Ruby Ridge or Waco Davidian compound issue. Some say a potential Waco or Ruby Ridge is about to unfold.
Try not to sound so excited when you say that. Ruby Ridge happened in 1992. A white supremacist, white separatist guy who affiliated with the Aryan Nations. He sold sawed-off shotguns to somebody who turned out to be an undercover ATF agent. When he failed to appear in court on those charges, U.S. Marshals serving the warrant for his arrest ended up in a shootout. They shot his teenage son. They shot his wife. A federal officer was also killed in the shootout. Waco was then the following year in Texas, heavily armed compound of the Branch Davidian cult. It was the scene of a huge shootout and then a huge fire, a huge conflagration in which 76 people died. Six cult members and four federal agents were also killed in an earlier raid. We did a documentary on Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, a few years ago here on MSNBC, and we turned up footage of Timothy McVeigh on site at the Waco siege. While the Branch Davidian thing was happening in Waco, there was Timothy McVeigh looking on. That deadly incident was part of his anti-government radicalization that led him, 2 years after Waco, to do this in Oklahoma City. Anti-government extremism in this country, the militia movement, the bombings of federal targets, these fantasies about armed militia, rebellions against the jackbooted thugs of the federal government, this is not fiction in our country. This is not even the distant past. These guys are still around. This movement is still very much with us. But even as this latest standoff in Nevada appears to have ended peacefully, what is unprecedented this time around is to have something as big and as loud and as powerful as the Fox News Channel blowing hot air on the dying embers of that conflict, trying to rekindle it into another giant fire.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Do yourself a favor. Get a mind transplant. Listen to independent radio, the alternative media in general. This is Ward Churchill saying have a nice day.
This is Pete Seeger. What country comes to mind when you hear this? The government illegally spies on civilians, produces phony news reports. People are imprisoned without charge or access to a lawyer. Prisoners are tortured and killed, and an illegal war launched on the basis of lies in which illegal weapons are used against civilians, against journalists and hospitals. Unfortunately,
The United States government is behind these actions.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
This ends our news flash.
On Bosnia, an examination of the influences and events contributing to the roots of war.
We'd forgotten that these people, these combatants we call Yugoslavs, were first and foremost Serbs, Slovenes, Croats or Montenegrins, Christian or Muslim, Catholic or Orthodox. We'd forgotten that it was here that the First World War erupted. We'd forgotten that the name of Yugoslavia had served to obscure those of six republics: Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia with its two autonomous regions called Vojvodina and Kosovo, and then Montenegro and Macedonia. Prior to 1914, Serbia and Montenegro formed a single kingdom that was allied to Tsarist Russia. Slovenia and Croatia were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, whose annexation of Bosnia-Herzegovina led to the assassination at Sarajevo of the Austrian Archduke by a Serb, and hence to the First World War. The post-war settlement at Saint-Germain near Paris determined the frontiers of the kingdom of the Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes, southern Slavs placed under the rule of the King of Serbia, Alexander I, who also ruled over Montenegro, Vojvodina, and Kosovo. Already within this first Yugoslavia, there were Serbs who dreamed of a greater Serbia ruled from Belgrade, and Croats who dreamed of federation and autonomy. Already the first schism. Croat deputies in parliament railed against the excesses of Serb centralism. In 1928, here, a Serb deputy killed two deputies of the Croat peasants and their leader, Radic. The funeral saw the appearance of flags and emblems of Croatian nationalism. The Croat deputies walked out of parliament, and soon afterwards the seeds of terrorism were sown with the formation of the Ustashis, the Croatian nationalists rebelling against royal and Serbian dictatorship. October 9, 1934, Marseille. Alexander I, smiling and unguarded, has only a few minutes left to live. He is shot down by an Ustashi. The king's body is returned to Belgrade by train. His son Peter is still too young, and so his cousin Paul, another Serb, is appointed regent and travels to Berlin. In the Nazi capital, shy and ill at ease, Paul has the air of a country cousin seeking the assurance of his powerful protector, Adolf Hitler, supremely confident in the exercise of his power and the sway of his charm.